Good evening, listeners. Welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, brought to you each week here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Oliver Lee is my name. Welcome along wherever you're listening tonight, whether it's in Auckland on Planet FM on a Wednesday night, delayed broadcast in Christchurch, Saturday night, Sunday evening in Kapiti Coast, and Sunday night in Wellington, or any other night of the week on planetaudio.org.nz. Hope you can stay with us for the next hour. We'll bring you plenty of good music. We'll bring you some of the latest news from Ireland and news about a man from Kerry cycling the length and breadth of New Zealand over the coming weeks around the world and whatever else is happening. We'll update you here on the programme Ireland Calling. First up tonight, we've got John Spillan, and he's singing all about the dance of the cherry tree.
Tell you about the cherry trees. Every April in our town, they put on the most outrageous clothes and they sing and they dance around. Hardly anybody sings or dances. Hardly anybody dances or sings in this town that I call my own. You have to hand it to the cherry trees. They seem to be saying to me anyway. Travel all around the sun, you know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. On behalf of me and the cherry trees. Well done. Well done, everyone. Cherry blossom in the air, cherry blossom on the street, cherry blossom in your hair, and a blossom at your feet. You know we've traveled all around the sun, you know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well done. On behalf of me and the cherry trees. Sometimes I think I'm getting old, not as young as I used to be. So it means even more to me to see the dance of the cherry trees. They seem to be saying, is it only to me? You know we've traveled all around the sun, you know it's taken us one whole year. Well done, everyone. Well, behalf of me and the cherry trees. Well done. Well done, everyone. Well done. Well done, everyone. Well done.
Yes, the man from Cork there, John Spillan, getting us off tonight, getting the show off with a lovely song there, The Dance of the Cherry Tree. Welcome along, you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, headlines since we were on air last week from Ireland is the election is into full swing. Obviously, the election taking place for the first time in over 100 years on a Saturday, 8th of February. So the politicians are going hammer and tongs at it at the moment. More details on that later. Obviously, shock and horror over the abduction, the murder, and the way that his body was strewn in different parts of Dublin for the young man from Drogheda that was killed last week. And then late last week, a young student who was a peacemaker at a flat in Bandon Road in Cork, he was stabbed to death as a result of a number of gate crashing a student party. And many tributes being paid to him over the last few days. So There was a number of other incidents. There was an attempt on two other men involved, supposedly in gangs in the north side of Dublin, and another attempt on a man's life in Cork, unrelated to the incident last week. So law and order, as well as health and housing, and are becoming dominant issues in the election. And on the sports front, Andy Farrell announces his squad for the Six Nations tournament. And speaking of rugby, the Super Rugby tournament gets underway here on Friday week, believe it or not, the middle of the summer. So if you are a follower of rugby, I'm sure many people are, you'll get a free guide to the Super Rugby, free with the two papers this weekend, the Sunday News and the Sunday Star Times. So wherever you're listening or living around the country, if you want to get a copy, all you got to do is to buy a copy of the Sunday Star Times or the Sunday News, and you'll get a free 32-page coloured glossy guide to Super Rugby and the All Blacks fixtures list as well for the season. So make sure you pick that up if you're a rugby fan. And finally, congratulations to Ballyhale Shamrocks, who are probably the best club hurling team in Ireland, and Cora Finn from Galway, the best club football team. They both won the All-Ireland titles last Sunday. But more about that, and indeed everything else, on the programme over the next hour or so. Up next, Damien Dempsey and Take All Our Cares Away.
The grouse hides the bottles round the house. She watches chat shows and the soaps, broken hearted but she copes. Michael's out of work, feels he's sinking in the muck. He's unshaven and a mess, finds it hard some days to dress. Stevie smashed to death, 'cause he can't express himself. He's consumed by rage, like his father at his age. Rita's little child has a lovely little smile, but this means nothing to our father, 'cause he's never even seen her. We sing all year. He's been clean for half a year. He gets bored out of his mind, but he's trying to toe the line. Maggie's in a chair, while joyriding put her there. She puts the kettle on the boil, and she's always got a smile. We see
Yes, Damien Dimpsey there, and a song called Sing All Your Cares Away. And Damien toured here about this time last year. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, the headline in the Irish Times today says large majority of voters favour a change of government. Three quarters of all voters want either some change or radical change. More than half the people polled say the country is going in the wrong direction. And there was one of the first opinion polls at the weekend showed that Fianna Fáil were 12 points ahead of Fine Gael, and on his way to Croke Park for the All-Ireland Club hurling and football finals, Leo Varadkar, who probably wouldn't be a regular at Croke Park like he's one of his predecessors and Bertie Ahern, he basically said if the country wants to go back to the political party that bankrupted the country and drove people out of the country, he says, you know, voting for Fianna Fáil is the way to go. So obviously he got a bit of a backlash from comments like that. And but it looks like there is a need for change. The biggest issues, housing and health, seems to be causing problems. The fact that rural Ireland isn't, you know, getting a fair benefit of the economic growth that's happening in Dublin. But as people, you know, will remember back, there was a boom economy from about the mid-90s through to 2005, 2006, when it completely went bust and had to be bailed out by the IMF. And people obviously seem to have forgotten that. So it'll be interesting to see if Fianna Fáil will form the next government, probably along with support from the Labour Party and the Greens. The Greens expect that they will pick up some extra seats, but the last time they went into a coalition with Fianna Fáil, they backed them twice. They ended up being decimated, but there's a big push for a greener economy and with all the effects of it. So obviously lots of electioneering to go on over the next few weeks until the 8th of February, the first election over 100 years on a Saturday. And there'll be political debates, but on national TV, which are normally between the two biggest parties. But I see Sinn Féin, who's the third party, they're claiming that they want to be involved in a three-way debate with the Mary Lou MacDonald, the leader of Sinn Féin, wants to be involved with the debates between the other two political leaders, Micheál Martin from Fianna Fáil and Leo Varadkar. And Varadkar said just that, yeah, he'd be happy to have her there. Expert group urges tolerance in wake of the RIC row. Politicians have been told it will be a shame and shameful if the tolerance that has marked the decade of commemorations is lost following the controversy surrounding the Royal Irish Constabulary. In a pointed speech last night, the chair of the expert advisory group, Dr. Maurice Manning, urged all political parties and their leaders to realise there are fragile times. And finally, Brian Cowan's brother, Brian, of course, was the Taoiseach in charge when the IMF came in to run the country, and he was struck down with a mystery illness last year, and not many people knew about it. But I see his brother, Barry, who's seeking re-election in Laois Offaly, has come out and asked people to support Fianna Fáil in memory of his brother. I thought when he said that, his brother had passed away, but he hasn't. But Brian has been seriously ill since about July last year, and it looks like he suffered a brain hemorrhage, a brain tumour, and still gravely ill. So he's asking the people down there to rally round and support him and, you know, elect him and possibly another Fianna Fáil candidate as well. Righto, let's head off here with another bit of music, and this is The Fields of Athenry, I think.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they have taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Dreams and songs. to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebelled, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Prison ship sailed out against the sky, for she lived in hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. The small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Yes, Paddy Riley there, and The Fields of Athenry, a very popular song. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Police in Northern Ireland have been making a lot of raids over the last 24-48 hours in an event, you know, to stop a big money laundering operation that was worth around 250 million. So they searched 15 properties in the investigation. And also into international criminal assets. So crime gangs on both sides of the border disrupted, said the chief inspector. And obviously that's good news. And I know that the Irish, the Gardaí, and the Minister for Justice, and indeed the Police Commissioner, Drew Harris, said that there'll be no resources spared in bringing the criminals that killed the young 17-year-old boy from Drogheda last Sunday week, and dismembered his body and threw some limbs in a park in Dublin, in an estate in Coolock, and then threw other parts of his body into a car and set it alight close to Crow Park last Wednesday morning. And there's been obviously a huge outpouring of sympathy for the family of this young man. He was a troubled young man that was obviously preyed on by drug and gang leaders for him to get involved as a runner initially. And but it looks like that he fell foul of dealings between two different gangs, and one of them wants to make an example about what will happen to anybody that crosses them. So the priests, bishops, everybody in the area, and even the police investigating this gruesome murder are saying if the people in the affluent areas of Dublin and the city centre that are paying 200 euro, 150, 200 euro for a joint of cocaine or a joint of cannabis, think twice before buying this anymore. They may, what do you call it, solve a big part of the problems, because if there wasn't a demand for drugs, there wouldn't be this unbelievable killing that's taking place between these rival factions over controlling the drug trade in Ireland. Or a bit of music, and we'll come back and have a look at some more bits and pieces. As I mentioned earlier, there's a man from Kerry, Dingle, travelling around the world. Well, he's cycled half the world already. He's here in New Zealand. He'll be here for the next 2 weeks. Tomás McInseer, he's originally from Kerry, and he's going to be travelling the length of New Zealand over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a chat to him on the programme next week, but over the next week he'll be heading off from Auckland tomorrow down to Hamilton, and then on to Tauranga, and then down to Taupo, on to Wellington, and then down the South Island. So he's got a Facebook page. If you want to, what do you call it, help him out by offering a night's accommodation or anything like that, he'd be delighted to hear from anybody from any part of Ireland that are out there. And there's links to his Facebook page and his Twitter account on the Irish Consulate's website, Facebook page here in Auckland. But we'll have a chat to him next week. He'll be a week into his tour, and he's already done 25,000 Ks of cycling over the last few years. Right, what are we up to next, and what are we off with? I'll hit this button here. Ave Maria. Yes, that's from Ave Maria from the Celtic Singers. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you each week here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Just to remind you once again, if you're a follower of Super Rugby and All Blacks Rugby here in New Zealand, you'll get a free 32-page coloured glossy magazine with your Sunday papers, the Sunday News and the Sunday Star Times on Sunday next throughout New Zealand. That's the 26th of January. So tomorrow, if you're listening in Christchurch, or today, if you're listening in Wellington, and obviously next Sunday, if you're listening tonight in Auckland on a Wednesday night, we're broadcasting out of the studio here of Planet FM in Auckland. As I mentioned last week, the All-Ireland Club Hurling and Football Finals were brought forward from normally St. Patrick's Day to Croke Park, and in the football final you had Corrifin, who were heading for third All-Ireland title in a row, up against Kilcoo from County Down, their first time ever winning the Ulster and getting into an All-Ireland club final. And they came out with tactics that brought success to Donegal a few years ago, when they brought out this blanket defence and literally put all of their players in their own half of the field. And for 24 minutes in the first half, it looked like it was paying off, because Corrifin, very attractive team of footballers, just couldn't break through. And Kilcoo were leading at that stage by 3-2. But obviously, as the second half went on, the game was still tight. Corrifin were leading by a few points, but then for some unknown reason, the referee... there was 5 minutes of added time allowed, and the referee played about 11 minutes of added time and given a free, which he brought forward by about 10 metres or more, to Kilcoo in the dying seconds of normal time, which they scored, and that brought the sides level. So they had to play 10 minutes each side, each half of extra time. But Corrifin, despite a number of players not being able to take the field for the extra time period, they brought on new players, and they just cut the Kilcoo defence open, and Kilcoo were held scoreless for the final 20 minutes of the game. So success for Corrifin, winning in the end by, I think, about 6-7 points. So celebrations, no doubt, will continue in the northeast Galway townland over the next few weeks, and Galway supporters will be hoping that a number of these Corrifin players, who are their great football stars, will add that bit of starlight and zumph to the Galway, headed up now by former Galway great Pádraig Joyce and John Dively. And they won their first bit of silverware last week, beating Roscommon in the FBD insurance final. And glad to say that a fellow clubman of mine is captain for Galway for this year, Shane Walsh. And another club footballer, Louise Ward, is the captain of the Galway senior ladies team. So great honour for both Shane and Louise to be representing and captain their county this year. But Galway will be hoping to do what the senior footballers did after Corrifin won their first title in 1998, when their captain went on and lifted the Sam Maguire Trophy later that year. At Harlan, it was expected to be one-way traffic between Ballyhale Shamrocks from Kilkenny and Borrisaleigh from County Tipperary, but the Tipperary team put up a good fight, and the game was in the balance with a few minutes to go, but Ballyhale took off in the last few minutes and winning by 3 points. So they're probably regarded as the best hurling club hurling team in Ireland, and they were led by the great Hinley Shefflin from the sideline. And of course, the Alliance Hurling and Football Leagues, they start this weekend. I think the football starts this weekend, and you can watch a lot of them games, in fact all of the games, on gaago.ie, or you can tune into RTE to watch them. But certainly hard to believe that the football season is getting underway. The days are getting a little bit longer over there. Certainly once you go past January, there's a little bit of a stretch in the evenings. Once you get into to February and March, it's much better. But still, beautiful weather here where we are in New Zealand at the moment. And of course, the fine weather here. We've got cricket season in full swing here, and as I said, Super Rugby starting in a week, and then the Six Nations starting in early February. Right, this time we're off with the Fury Brothers and Davy Arter and Song for Ireland.
Laughing all the day in small pubs where pipes first play, and telling jokes and news and talk pales the past, the time away. I saw the sun set in the sky, and in the east I heard the night birds cry. Why is living on your western shore? Saw the summer sunset, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night of that quiet land where no man has to fight. On silver wings they fly, and all the time it seems to be so right. I saw the Galway salmon run into the dark pools, sheltering from the sun. Why is living on your western shore? Saw the summer sunset, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Your mighty cliffs of Moher, around your rocky slopes the seabirds soar. Where the hare and rabbit lay, now your mighty ocean seems so far away. I stood on Dingle's beach and cast into the wild foam for the Atlantic vast. Why is living on your western shore? Saw the summer sunset, I asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland.
Yes, the Fury Brothers there when they were with Davy Archer, and their song for Ireland. And we've just gone halfway through the programme here. The programme you're listening to is Ireland Calling, brought to you each week here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Election taking place on the 8th of February, first time in over 100 years that a general election is taking place on a Saturday. There has been a few referendums that have taken place on Saturday, and turnout has been below 50% on both occasions for the two referendums. There was one by-election in Cork, and that brought out 50%. But the Taoiseach said in calling the election on the 8th, he was hoping that you know, having the election on a Saturday would be able to be a good opportunity for especially people with young families to come out and vote, not to have to worry about getting babysitters to come in during the week if they were working on a Friday, which many of them are, or a Thursday. Normally elections used to take place on a Thursday, so but he won't be happy with the way the opinion polls are going at the moment. In fact, the opinion poll that came out at the weekend said that there's a number of high profile ministers even that came in as you know, the second seats in some constituencies may not even get re-elected. So, you know, hopefully it won't be a landslide. I remember back in 1977, Fianna Fáil came in with a huge landslide of about a margin of 29 seats. I think half the 29 people didn't even bother turning up to vote. And we know a lot of that has been going on in the last government as well. There's a number of TDs that were signing in when they had other people signing in for them when they weren't there as well. So I'm afraid some of our politicians have a lot to you know, answer for. And there was one candidate, TD in Cork, that basically he was the director of elections for European Parliament elections there earlier this year, but he'd been working with the political party that's aligned to Fine Gael in the European Parliament for nearly the past 2 years while still a sitting TD in Dáil Éireann. And there was huge uproar when it was discovered that he basically only attended a few sessions of the Dáil, and you know, that he should be investigated. But the fact that he's resigned, he cannot be brought before the Public Accounts Committee. Dara Murphy's his name, and he's got going to have a good old pension coming out of it. Another man that'll be happy with his pension is Enda Kenny, guaranteed a £1,000 a year from his time. He's one of the longest serving TDs in Dáil Éireann, I think elected in 1975 after the sudden death of his dad, and of course was Taoiseach for almost two terms. So he hasn't been seen or heard of much since he was replaced by Leo Varadkar as leader, but certainly will be comfortable with his pension, and I'm sure he'll have the odd directorship etc. Coming his way after he bows out of office on the 8th of February, obviously, after there's a TD elected in his place in Castlebar in Mayo. You know, he'll be finished, and he doesn't have anybody from his own family that have sought the nomination. It's somebody within the Fine Gael party over in Mayo. Okay, Storm My Heart, Dolores Keane.
Stormy winds and the raging seas, the driving rain, it lashes my face, it breaks all my bones and burns my skin, and delivers me to this place. You bind up my wounds with your healing hands. You whisper sweet words born in the dark. You raise me up and you calm me down. You're starting a storm in my heart. A storm in my You're starting a storm in my heart. The ghosts are there behind my back, racing clouds all in the night, breaking waves on a lonesome shore that leaves timber is weak and the sails are torn. to betray my loving trust, to fix the rope around my neck and deliver me to my rest. I fought forever in you whisper sweet words on in the dark. You break the line of time and tide. You've started a storm in my heart. A storm in my heart. A storm in my heart. You've started storm in my heart, a storm in my heart, a storm in my heart. You've started a storm in my heart.
Yes, the great sound of Dolores Cain there and Storm in My Heart, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And just looking through the papers, well, that song is on there. It's just pages and pages of elections, and sadly, there's a number of pages relating to court cases and an inquest into the death of the man that abducted Justine Valdez, the young Filipino girl that was killed in May 18. In Wicklow is going through the courts at the moment, and it just makes a grim reading. She was killed around the 18th, 19th of May 2018. She was getting a bus home from Bray to her family in Inniskerry when this man abducted her, and obviously 2 days later he was found in a car park in South Dublin trying to harm himself, and was shot and subsequently died. So the inquest into his death is taking place at the moment, but I know there was an interview with the family of Justine Valdez late last year, and every day is heartbreak for them. She was their only child, and they were a hard-working family from the Philippines living in Dublin, and obviously huge support at the time of her death, and they were able to repatriate her body back to the Philippines, and they've come back, and they're living in Ireland as far as I know, but a horrific time for them as a result of this man. His name was Mark Hennessy. The harm and the hurt brought onto that family. And as I mentioned earlier, huge issues for the Gardaí in dealing with the fallout from the brutal murder and dismemberment of his body in Drogheda last week. Well, the young man was from Drogheda. It looks like he was abducted and killed there before. His body was dumped in two different locations in Dublin. And it's all to do with the drug lords trying to control their own patch. And the references have been made to what was going on around the time that Veronica Gearden was killed, when Gilligan was controlling the drug scene and the crime scene in Dublin. But the police force, the Gardaí, threw a huge amount of resources at the crime in Dublin then, and basically got a lot of these guys locked up. And then it moved on to Limerick, and there was over 20 people killed with fights over controlling their patch in Limerick before the Gardaí cleaned up that particular city, which is much better now. And it looks like they've got a big job on their hands in North Dublin and up as far as Drogheda, where there's terrible crime going on, and there's not a lot of facilities for young people, according to some of the parents interviewed over the last week. And young people that drop out of school and haven't a great outlook for life, and they're being preyed on by these drug lords, and being offered obviously free drugs as an incentive to join a gang, but then the possibility of making good money. And sadly, the young man that was abducted and killed almost 2 weeks ago. He was wearing designer gear that probably cost in the region of, everything added up, over €2,000. He had a designer jacket that was worth €700 or €800, shoes that were €300, a cap that was €200, and a sweatshirt. So obviously they're being lured to do drug runs for these high-powered criminals, and the police have said to them, this is what's going to happen. If you don't be careful, you'll end up being shot and killed, and that's coming to fruition for some of these families. Right, we'll hit another button, see what I've got here. Well, I think, is it not?
If only I could see again the twinkle in my mother's eyes, to hear again her gentle voice, and have her hold me when I cry. If only she could be here now to help me free my troubled mind. I wonder if my mother knows, although I've tried, no peace I find. It seems 100 years ago that when I'd cry, she'd wipe my tears, just like magic, when I'd fall, she'd be right there to calm my fears. Oh, Mom, if you could only see the hurt and cried 10 million tears since the tears I cried when I lost you. I know you're never far away. Hold your hand, your loving smile I'd love to see, but in my heart you're still alive. I think about dear, why did you die? And leave me here so far away.
Yes, coming up to almost 50 minutes gone. You're listening to Ireland Calling, and we have a look at the sports pages here, looking at the sports section of the Irish Times on Wednesday. The first page is all about cross-channel soccer. Second page is all about cross-channel soccer. There was a big story in all the papers yesterday about the fact that former chief executive of the Football Association of Ireland, probably the most hated man in Ireland at the moment, John Delaney, he stepped down voluntarily from his role, paying $180,000 with the UEFA with immediate effect. And obviously he got the chance to write his own obituary, so to speak, or press release, because it spoke of Delaney in glowing terms about the great work that he did with the UEFA. But a number of insiders said that they found him to be very hard to work with. He didn't contribute a lot, and they were surprised that he used to bring his partner with him to meetings and functions, which was really a no-no for important functions. Delaney certainly showed off his latest partner in public over the last few years, Emma English, I think was her name, blonde lady. And but he hasn't been, he's only been seen twice since this whole controversy broke out about the way that he ran the FAI into the ground with debts almost totaling 70 million. And they've appointed an interim CEO, they've appointed four members to the board, and literally all the old board is gone, but the government haven't said they will how much money they will commit to trying to keep the organisation afloat. There's of course 200 staff still employed by the FAI at their headquarters in Abbottstown in Dublin. And but Delaney got a payout of 460,000 from the FAI last September. He probably had been mortgage free before that, maybe with all the payments he was getting down through the years, and but maybe not, because I think he went through a separation. So there was rumours that the 100,000 loan that he gave to the FAI in March last year, was being done in order to avoid a payout to his ex-wife. But anyway, and there was rumours that she was the one that started spilling the beans on him. But he's gone now, and many people are saying good riddance. He certainly left a terrible legacy behind. And this is the man that 2 years ago said that the GAA, or that the FAI, its debt on Lansdowne Road or Aviva Stadium would be debt-free by the end of 2020. So certainly far from it with the way it is in at the moment, debts of almost 70 million. Right, well, the big news on the rugby front was that Saracens have been dumped from the Premiership next year, with the investigation finding out that they were rotting the system with giving payments to players and breaking the salary cap. And I see in the Irish Times today, Gordon Darcy says, let those clubs who are without sin cast the first stone at Saracens. The other Premiership clubs and English rugby in general might end up regretting the sort of justice they have demanded. When it comes to the public stoning of Saracens, that scene in the life of Brian springs to mind. Remember all those male actors wearing the fake beards? So the Jewish official played by John Cheese and Roman soldiers do not notice that they are actually women. And they're basically, he's saying there's a lot of other rugby clubs need to have a good look at themselves. Farrell announced his squad for the Six Nations last weekend. They play their first game, I think it's on the 1st of February, against Scotland. That game is at home in Ireland. And obviously this is Andy Farrell's first time as head coach. And he'll be hoping that he can start off with a good win. Of course, the last time they played Scotland was in the World Cup in Yokohama Stadium back there in September. And they beat them easily, 27 points to 3. And we all thought it'll be plain sailing all the way to the Rugby World Cup semi-final. And but it didn't quite work out like that, with defeats to, obviously, Japan. And then playing the All Blacks in the quarter-final, where we were annihilated. Right. More music, and then we'll come back and wrap up Hard Times from Donna Taggart.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears, while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our hearts. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many seek mirth and beauty and music light and gay. There are frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks will say, oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered. A pale drooping maiden who toils her life away with a worn heart, her days are o'er. Though her voice would be merry, 'tis sighing all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song.
Yes, Donna Taggart there and Hard Times, and we're coming to the end of full time here of Ireland Calling. Hard to believe we're in the third week of January already. The time is moving by very quickly, and rugby season, as I said, starting in Friday week here in Auckland when the Blues take on the Chiefs. The first game is Super Rugby. So if you're a Super Rugby fan, make sure you pick up a copy of the Sunday News or the Sunday Star Times on Sunday, and you'll get a free magazine in there. And it's give you all the guide for the season ahead. And there's also a feature in there on looking back 25 years of Super Rugby and the fixtures for the All Blacks matches this year. As I said, Ireland take on Scotland in the first round of the Six Nations on Sunday week, on the 1st of February. Obviously a disappointing season last year, but new coach and new captain, Johnny Sexton, announced last Wednesday as captain of the team. Some people thought, of course, they should have probably gone with James Ryan, but his time will come. Sexton obviously delighted to be appointed captain and will be hoping for success in Six Nations this year. Right, that's it for me. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thank you for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed the programme. I'll be back again next week, same time, and look forward to talking to you then. And look out for Tomás McInthead as he travels around New Zealand over the next week. He'll be in the North Island, heading to Hamilton, and then on to Tauranga and to Rotorua on his way to Wellington.